And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you. Hope you're having a wonderful Friday and looking forward to a great weekend. Take some time to enjoy yourself, rest up a little bit. Hope you get to church. I just had somebody tell me that their church was reopening for the first time in 11 months. The church closed down last March and is just reopening this February. So I hope that your church is open and you have a chance to go and have fellowship with the saints. We're getting some good reports on numbers of COVID cases and deaths on the downturn. I think this thing is going to run its course and dissipate and disappear. Now, that does not mean that everything we can do to aid ourselves, to keep ourselves healthy and safe within reason, we do. I'm not in any way debunking that. We can do that, in my view, without the kind of governmental overreach and craziness that we've seen in our country over the last year. But I think we, as reasonable adults, can do what we think we need to do. I don't think there's anything wrong with washing your hands. I don't think the masks do much of anything, but for the peace of mind of your fellow citizens and make them feel better about respecting their safety, for the people who are really, really frightened by all of this, then, you know, do you do that? But I think that ultimately, and of course the vaccines presumably are going to help, presumably. We may not know for quite some time to come exactly how much they help. But in the meantime, you know, we do what we can. And that's one of the things that's presented before us as an option. But I really think that ultimately the prayers of the saints, nature itself is going to take care of this thing. And it's going to dissipate. And we'll look up and it will be a distant memory as a real issue in our country. And oh, don't we all look forward to that day? So I trust the churches are reopening now and that we'll soon have all of them open. As far as the schools being open, I'll tell you something. I think the closing of these schools, while it is a curse in terms of educating children, it is a blessing in terms of getting them out of these indoctrination factories and encouraging more parents to homeschool and send their children to Christian school and so forth. In my view, we need universal school choice, universal school choice. In other words, we should define as a public school that anybody can go to, and then let the taxpayer dollars follow the child and the parent, not have the parents and the children forced to enter a certain school because that's where the taxpayer dollars are going by fiat, by government fiat, or maybe as we're witnessing in Chicago, by teacher union fiat, because let's face it, in these liberal districts, teachers unions are controlling the school systems, and they're not controlling them in the interest of children. They're not even controlling them in the interest of teachers who really want to teach children and want to be a blessing to children. No, they're controlling them in their own interest, in the interest of power and money and the ability to have large political coffers available to help the candidates that they want to support get elected. And their main agenda is a social agenda, not an educational agenda. They want homosexuality and transgenderism and abortion and all this stuff. This is the stuff that's preeminent in their minds. And whether the children get an education, as we're finding out in Chicago, they could care less. I mean, they're not interested in that. These teachers' unions, just like the entire leftist cabal that they're part of, they're interested in power. That's all. And the children help them get power, and the children are helped in some sort of tangential way in the process, fine. But otherwise, kick the children to the curb. Just make sure the power stays in our hands and the money stays in our hands and the influence stays in our hands. And we will sacrifice the children gladly to make sure that that happens. Now, that's a rather sad commentary, but I think what I've just said is the absolute truth about where these teachers' unions are coming from, and they're proving it every day. And by the way, I think for those of Bible-believing Christians and conservative people who believe in traditional values and believe in freedom and free market economies and families taking care of themselves and their responsibilities and government staying in its own lane, operating under the limited and enumerated powers given to it by the Constitution rather than continually expanding its reach into more and more and more of the lives of the American people and trying to force us to bow and to bend to its own cultural prescriptions. Here's the way you're supposed to think, and here's the way you're supposed to behave, and here's the way you're supposed to talk, and you better do it or we're going to punish you. I think instead of all of that, if we Bible-believing Christians and we traditional conservatives will stand up for what we believe in, I think we're going to see a tremendous breakthrough, and I don't think it's going to take long to see it, and I'll tell you why. Because I think that the left is going to overreach, and they're doing it already. They're doing it already. I think this completely partisan $1.9 trillion so-called stimulus is part of that overreach. You know, we don't talk much about this on the program, but there hasn't been much of an opportunity to, because there have been so many other things that we've had to deal with. But some of you have brought it up from time to time. You know, we're spending ourselves into oblivion. We really are. We're spending ourselves into oblivion. I don't know what the exact amount of debt is now. It's got to be approaching $25 trillion. You can't do that forever. And I know that people need help. And we want to help the people who really need the help, not just kind of spread money around because, again, it's politically expedient and it helps them stay in power. So happily, we're happy to do that. And I know President Trump, before he left office, supported the larger stimulus checks for citizens rather than the smaller one of $600. I think he supported the larger one of $1,200 per citizen. And I understand in these circumstances how that appeals to all of us, frankly, because our hearts go out to people who are hurt in this thing. But we better also keep one eye on the deficit ball, because I tell you what, that thing could become a boulder that gathers enough steam and enough mass to ultimately crush us all. So we just have to keep our eye on the ball, which is truth, Constitution, our belief in freedom and faith and family and the fundamental values of our country, and watch. The left is going to implode. Here, let's see. I think I've got enough time to, do I have enough time to share this clip, or do I need to wait? But here's an example of what I mean. Matt Gaetz, not enough. Okay, we'll play it right out of the gate. Next segment. Matt Gaetz suggested to his fellow congressmen and women that they start saying the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of committee meetings. Now, these committee meetings are formal meetings of the government. And Congress doesn't always convene in any kind of orderly way where you've got the mass of people there. Sometimes if they're in session, and people kind of trickle in and trickle out. And he was suggesting for the committee meetings, which are, you know, formal gatherings, that they say the Pledge of Allegiance to open the meeting up. Hold that thought, because when we come back, I want you to hear something that not many people have heard yet. The Daily Caller broke this story, and I have confidence in this information, although we haven't here at AFR independently developed it. But I think it's realistic. When we come back, you listen to it, and it's going to tell you something about how the left, as they reveal themselves, are going to ultimately self-destruct. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Representative Dan Crenshaw started his commentary about lockdowns, but quickly focused on how our brains process risk. He wanted to help us understand why Americans see the pandemic and the lockdowns very differently. He cites research that discovered that Democrats and Republicans differ in their neural mechanism activated during risk-taking exercises, specifically in the amygdala region. This demonstrates measurable physiological differences when confronted with risk. For example, conservatives overwhelmingly fill the ranks of physically riskier jobs such as the military, law enforcement, and loggers. What does this mean in terms of the pandemic that we faced this last year? Well, conservatives are less risk-averse to physical threats and less likely to favor more extreme actions to mitigate risk. Liberals, he argues, are more likely to believe that government can solve problems and are willing to accept such measures. He also quotes from research by Dr. Jonathan Haidt, who's been on my radio program to talk about his latest book. He found that liberals overemphasize caring and fairness above other moral considerations. Conservatives favor these moral categories, but also value moral authority and tradition, liberty and loyalty. And this also explains why liberals routinely denigrate contextualized COVID-19 data, such as accounting for age and comorbidities when assessing fatalities, because they see this as downplaying the virus. If we're to have a civil debate about the responses to the pandemic, then we need to understand the differences between us and frame the discussion accordingly. Representative Crenshaw wisely reminds us that some of the differences we have about government policy are affected by how our brains process risk and emotions. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Loneliness, go to viewpoints.info/loneliness. That's viewpoints.info/loneliness.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are spiders ever found in the fossil record?
Yes, unbelievably, Chris, they are. Not only spiders, but sometimes spider webs are found. A spider and its web was found in amber, which was dated by evolutionists at 190 million years old. Now, I don't buy the date. I think the amber was formed at the time of Noah's flood. But think how silly this makes the millions of years idea look. Spider silk is so fragile, it dehydrates and deteriorates quite quickly. Does anybody really think it's going to last for 190 million years? Chris, a better idea is out there. It's the back to Genesis idea of creation and the flood.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
Brian Fisher here. It's Free for All Friday on the phones. The Biden recession has already begun. Congressman Lauren Boebert is packing heat in D.C. Democrats never dump on their own, but Republicans make it a habit. The flood of illegal aliens into the U.S. has begun as Biden throws the border wide open and Biden pledges to work with China. That and more on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
So Matt Gaetz, is it Gaetz or Gates? But people pronounce it different ways. But he's the representative from First Congressional District of Florida. He suggested that congressmen and women say the Pledge of Allegiance when they open up committee hearings. You know, and I thought, wow, you know, that could be a unifying thing to do and just something to kind of bring people together and remind everybody what we're here for. We're not here for our partisan purposes. We're here to serve our country. But listen to how they responded in this discovered audio of their discussion in response to his suggestion.
Can anybody hear me? Zoe, can you hear me?
I can hear you. We can hear you, Steve.
I can too.
Congrats or everybody on this when you're talking now.
So right now, everyone's mic is hot, and it is broadcasting online through YouTube. So just be keeping that in mind.
Okay, well, somebody, I missed a little bit of what we just had. I wake up in the morning, and I pledge allegiance to the flag. I go outside, regardless of the weather, where I've got my flag up by my house, and I pledge allegiance. And then I get on my knees, and I pray. If I do that, am I supposed to do it again? And how many times a day should I do that?
I think you should do it at least every hour.
Hourly, right?
Yeah.
Maybe in front of the in the Raven Horseshoe?
I think so.
Yeah. So what do they want? They want prayer said before the beginning of each meeting and the pledge, or just the pledge?
Just the pledge.
Just the pledge.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first grade we had something like this.
I remember, too. I remember on Fridays at 10 o'clock, we ducked below our desk because of the nuclear bomb.
Right. Duck and cover.
That ages me, right? I'm going to vote.
Well, Pramila, you should do something about this as head of the CPC. I charge you with the responsibility.
Just what I'm looking for.
I'm not sure what he was referring to when he said CPC, but of course CPC is also the Communist Party of China. But that tells you a lot, doesn't it? It really does. It tells you a lot about what they really think of our country. It really does. Because I would, even if I, for whatever reason, I would never object to it anyway, but if for whatever reason I thought, well, you know, that's going to take up a lot of time, or that's going to kind of interrupt the flow of some of our business. And I would never ridicule saying the Pledge of Allegiance or prayer either and turn that into a big joke. What do they want? They want you to say the Pledge of Allegiance and pray before every meeting. I guess I should go down to the Rayburn Horseshoe and say it. And yeah, you should say it every hour. These people... Now you know why they never objected to the kneeling in protest of the flag at games, because they don't respect it. They don't respect the flag. They don't respect the Pledge of Allegiance. Remember I said to you yesterday that behind the scenes at the Democrat convention, they were arguing about taking under God out of the pledge. They didn't want to say that. Well, now we know they don't really want to say the pledge, because that guy who was talking about going outside, no matter what the weather, and saying the Pledge of Allegiance, and then kneeling down and praying. Right, he was that. That was a joke too. So what did they want me to do? I mean, because first of all, if he were really that devout, he would not have said, "What do they want me to do next?" I mean, how many times a day do I have to do this? It's just. But you know what? The average American, and I believe Democrat or Republican or Independent, listens to that and says, wow, what little respect these people have for our symbols, and what little respect, frankly, that they have for our institutions. I want to start getting your calls in, because this is First Amendment Friday. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And, of course, everything's on the table. I've got a few issues that I will hit along the way. But everything's on the table for today, as you know. Anything we've talked about this week, anything we haven't talked about this week, but that you want to bring up. I believe that the Democrats have just created a new star in Representative Green of Georgia in taking her off of her committees. I saw her statement to the press with all the media there to hear her, and I thought her statement was absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. She apologized for things she said in the past that she said she no longer subscribes to. And here again, you know, you can understand when people get frustrated and they get angry about where their country is going and all kinds of theories that, you know, pop up to try to explain things. And I can understand her sort of dabbling in some of these conspiracy theories, but she renounced that and said, I regret that. I apologize for that. But she gave an absolutely compelling statement about where the country is and what is needed, and spent some time lecturing the press. And she made a point to them. She said, you keep asking me the same question over and over and over again when I've already answered. They said, just like you would ask President Trump, denounce white supremacy, denounce white supremacy. He would denounce it. That's not good enough. You didn't do it soon enough. You didn't do it long enough. You didn't do it loud enough. You didn't do it often. I mean, you can never satisfy them. But I thought what Democrats have done is to create a new star in Congress, because she's now off of her committees, but she's been given a great big microphone. So it'll be interesting to hear what she's got to say over the next 2 to 4 years. So there is that. And a bunch of other things in the news. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let me mention one or two other things that are happening. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, forgive me, folks. I should have talked about, at least acknowledge, this New Mexico State Police officer who was killed in the line of duty. That's four, I think, just this week. That is really tragic. Oh, yes. This is not big news, but it's news that's worth our notice. A Children's Network is making a new animated LGBTQ film starring this woman who I never heard of before, Lily Singh. I guess she's an NBC late night host, but she's also going to be the star, I guess, of an animated LGBTQ film that is being put out by this Children's Network. Yeah, thanks a lot. That way to serve the kids. Yes, indeed. Let's ply them with some more sexual perversion. That's exactly what they need. Oh, wow. I tell you, these people are just so wise and so brilliant, aren't they? Too bad the rest of us just don't get it. We're just not capable of grasping just how wise they are and how forward-thinking they are. Yeah, thanks a lot. One other thing. I didn't realize this when I mentioned it yesterday, but Simon & Schuster, that's the publisher that picked up Hunter Biden, the same publisher that cut Josh Hawley loose. Same publisher. They cancel Josh Hawley's contract, and they picked up Hunter Biden's contract, and apparently they're advancing him $2 million for his memoirs. I tell you. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's get started with your calls here on First Amendment Friday. Let's go to Junior in Alabama. Junior, welcome.
Yes, sir. I use the call as Albert. You know, I just said Junior, you know, it's really easier. But, yes, sir, I'm the veteran in Alabama. I'm your brother veteran. I was trying to get everyone to get on to One American News. My man Mike Lindell's got the absolute proof on there. He's got a whole document going on right now. They need to get on there. I'm a DVR in it right now. The whole proof, all the numbers and everything. It's called Absolute Proof. I don't know if you heard it, but I want you to let your people know.
I've heard about it. Yes, I've heard about it.
Yeah, yep. Mike Lindell. Yeah, because you know he's the MyPillow guy. I'm going to get in contact with him myself personally. I want to go work with him. Cause that man, he's fired. I'm fired up too.
You should be. We all should be.
But that's all I wanted to. I don't want to take up any more time. Right. But you know, he's showing the foreign, you know, the foreign intervention. We already know the Dominion machines are controlled by China run by China or whatever. You know, it's right. China and yeah. Other countries involved.
Well, so we had George Soros. George Soros has got his hands in that pie, too. There are a lot of things there. So I will make sure, as you said, Albert, I will make sure All right, Albert. Thank you for the call. I'll make sure that we check that out. God bless you. Let's see if we can get Dorothy in here. Dorothy from Texas, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. Thank you so much for doing what you do. God bless you. We're concerned. 6 months. From now, what's going to happen?
That's a question that you're asking me, what's going to happen 6 months from now?
Mm. Yeah.
Well, Dorothy, look, I think we're going to suffer for a while here in our country overall, because I don't think the Biden administration has a clue what to do about the economy. I don't think they have a clue what to do about COVID. Remember, we got 20 million doses that have already been lost. Nobody knows where they are. We've got this China relationship that I think has got Biden by the throat, frankly. And so, yeah, I think we just have to continue to pray and believe God, because on the other side of this, I think there is a bright, shining sun awaiting us. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
Jesus told us to beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? Some years ago, the following item appeared in the newspaper. Quote, "The author of the disparaging book, The Passover Plot, which states that Christ's crucifixion was faked to fulfill Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah, now questions the whole authority of the Christian Church. Now Dr. Hugh Schoenfield, in Those Incredible Christians, lashes out at what he calls vested beliefs in ecclesiastical rubbish. The 68-year-old Jewish scholar is allegedly without a religious creed of his own, believing in God as pure spirit." End of quote. Well, now, how about that? Here's a man who, he himself admits, doesn't know what he believes, telling millions of people that their belief is rubbish. Well, personally, I'm tired of folks like Dr. Schoenfield. I'm tired of these self-appointed authorities who don't know what is right, except that everybody else is wrong. Yes, I'm tired. Tired of all the people who say God is dead who never knew he was alive. They live in their ivory palaces behind the sacred walls of education and spin out fancy theories about the nothingness of God. They never go down to the grave and watch a mother lay her child into the cold, hard earth. They never go to the hospital where the father of four young children is dying with cancer. They aren't ever called by the wife whose husband is an alcoholic. But they are sure after reading the textbooks that there is no God. I'm tired. Tired of the people who say the Bible is a lie who've never even read it. Our society is full of them, these intellectual illiterates who speak in pure ignorance of the subject matter. I'm tired. Tired of the people who say the church of today is irrelevant because we haven't been able to provide everybody with a mansion on the hill, a high income, a meaningful job, and the best social standing. I'm tired, yes. I'm tired of these fine people who say they can accept Christ as a great moral teacher, but not as the Son of God or the Savior of men. Little do these people realize the absurdity of their statement. A good moral teacher, but not God? If he wasn't the Son of God, indeed God himself, and did what he did and said what he said, then he was a blundering, blind, ignorant fool. Stupid. Crazy. He was either who he said he was, or he was a crazy idiot. But you will have to accept one of those descriptions of him. God incarnate or stupid madman? Unfortunately, the New Testament just doesn't leave room for you to classify him as a great moral teacher, but not God himself. Yes, I'm tired of these know-it-alls who don't know what they believe. And let me add just one final word to them. They say they're searching for truth. If this be true, then maybe one day they will find what many of us have already found. You see, we have already found truth. We found it in a lowly Nazarene, apart from whom no truth can ever be found.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
The number is 888-589-8840. And by the way, on this book publication, you know, the left is always running around talking about white privilege. But, you know, they don't ever talk about left privilege because that's really what's going on in our country right now. Josh Hawley happens to be white. He got his book deal canceled because he's not on the political left. Hunter Biden, who is a ne'er-do-well, who's accomplished nothing in his own right. I mean, nothing. Nothing. He's basically trafficked off his father's position and name. And here he gets a $2 million book deal. $2 million advance with the same company. So since they're both white and one has been denied privilege and one has not, to use the left's nomenclature about this stuff, white, black, you know, there's got to be something then called left privilege. If you're on the left, you can make millions of dollars, much of it even potentially, allegedly, I think there's some evidence of it being illegal, because influence peddling is illegal, okay? It's illegal. You cannot do that. And yet he's done it, gotten away with it, no problem. And he's getting rewarded for it. Josh Hawley simply raises the kinds of questions a caller raised earlier about the nature of the last election. And you know, here again, you would think, wouldn't you? You would think they spent 3 years, $35 million investigating false claims about President Trump as some kind of Russian asset or the puppet of Putin, or somehow that Russia gave him the election. 3 years and $35 million, and they wanted so desperately to find evidence, but they couldn't find it because it wasn't there. But there's plenty of evidence that things went wrong in the last election. And if you mention that, you are a terrorist, you are a right-wing crazy, you are a, I mean, you name it. And Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz are being investigated for their willingness to raise questions about the election. It's, folks, yeah, it's the bias is so real and so palpable and so dangerous that it's chilling. It really is. It's chilling. Let's come back to your calls. Let's go to Patricia in Oklahoma. Patricia, welcome.
Hi. Every time I see individuals having book deals, that who would buy their book? Well, Obama's a different story. But the first thing they say about Obama, well, he has his money because he sold a book. He had a book contract. And then Comey, he had a book contract. I really do believe that money is being funneled into these book contracts to keep people, you know, doing what the politicians want them to do. Because how else do they explain the money that they've come into? That's my comment.
Well, Patricia, thank you for the call. And you are, I think you are onto something there, because that's not illegal. It's not illegal to get paid for a book deal. But it does conveniently funnel millions of dollars into the coffers of people who the left wants to reward. And it might be interesting sometime to trace that money, wouldn't it? It might be interesting because the Obamas, of course, remember Obama famously saying, I mean, there does come a time when you have enough money. In other words, when the government should take anything more that you earn. But I tell you what, I didn't hear him saying, I don't want a $65 million contract for my book. That's not fair. That's too much money. There does come a moment when you got enough money. So we don't want to take all that. Yeah, the hypocrisy of these people knows no bounds. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Daniel in Texas. Daniel, welcome.
Yes, sir. How are you today?
I'm blessed, Daniel. How about you?
Well, I am too. I'm probably blessed more than anybody, but I just have a thought. If the government or the current administration does not want to continue to build our wall, can the individual state against the border build their own wall?
Well, Daniel, that's a very, very good question. I have to tell you, my first thought is that if they tried, the federal government would step in and try to stop it, because they would say that immigration is the jurisdiction strictly of the federal government and the president of the United States, according to the Constitution. But I think you raise a very interesting legal question, because illegal immigration is doing tremendous damage to the states. The borders are on state land. And I think an argument at least could be made that states ought to have a right to protect their citizens and protect their borders by creating an obstruction between them and the flow of illegal immigration. But you can rest assured, the federal government would fight that under this administration, would fight that tooth and nail, even if they tried it. So
yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. But you know, it might be an avenue that somebody somewhere. And if the states that are on the border band together,
yep,
then maybe fight it in a court situation somewhere.
Hey, absolutely. Could not agree with you more. Thank you so much for the call, Daniel. God bless you. Let's go to Scott in Arizona. Scott, welcome. Oh, and it's Arkansas. Sorry about that, Scott.
Well, technically, Scott. I'm driving in Arizona, but I'm from Arkansas.
You're not in Arizona right now, are you?
I'm in Arizona. I'm about to go to New Mexico. I'm a long-haul truck driver.
Oh, you are? Okay, wow. Well, I called it right. Okay. All right, Scott.
How are you, St. Jackson?
Say what?
I said, how are you doing, St. Jackson? It's a higher calling the doctor.
No. Oh, brother, here we go. Okay. That might be worse than Dr. Jackson, but I'm doing fine, Scott.
I have a solution to the men's playing in female sports. I don't know why they haven't come up with this yet, so we need to trademark it. TG Sports. Transgender sports, so they can play all they want.
Oh, you created transgender sports league.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
That way they can play. They can. Everybody could be a winner and no losers and stay out of our sports.
Right. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody, if there's money flowing, everybody gets the same amount of money. No, yeah, you know
they
what?
They all could be woke and they don't have to go to sleep.
Scott, I love that idea, Scott. Somebody listening ought to take that up. You know, some enterprising transgender ought to go ahead and start the Transgender Sports League. Now, there's only one problem that they might run into, which is I don't know who would be watching the Transgender Sports League, because based on the numbers we know about the number.
They got their own little corner. A lot of them can watch it.
Yeah, right. Right. Well,
probably have a large Democratic crowd.
It'll be a very small corner, Scott. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Scott. I tell you, I have the most brilliant audience in radio, and our network has the most brilliant audience in radio, because you all come up with ideas that I just think why not a Nobel Prize for Scott? Yes, absolutely, for that brilliant idea. Thank you very much for it. Let's go to Judy in Georgia. Judy, welcome.
Thank you. How are you, Bishop Jackson?
I'm blessed. How are you, Judy?
I'm fine. I appreciate your service to our country, and I appreciate what you're doing now, Bishop Jackson, and keep up the good work. I just wanted to mention that I heard on the news this morning that the governor in Virginia is signing a bill where there will be no more capital punishment in Virginia.
Yes.
But, you know, it's so ironic, Bishop Jackson, that they don't want anything to happen to these murderers and these people that have committed such crimes, and yet they're willing to kill babies that even up to after birth. I just can't imagine people with that kind of mind. Can you?
Judy, I am so glad you brought it up, because I thought about it when that news broke. I said, this is the same governor who thinks that it's okay to kill a baby after it's born, if that was the intention, if it was an intended abortion anyway. Yeah, you're right. Here again, their hypocrisy is simply, it's out of bounds. Back in a moment.
Come on, man.
It's a no-brainer. Men go to the men's restrooms and women go to the women's. But that's not how President Biden sees it. He issued an executive order allowing men to go into women's restrooms, effectively putting women and children in danger. This order includes any public high school and university that receives federal funding.
Come on, man.
Act now. Send an email to President Biden and tell him, come on, man, protect our women and children from predators. Just go to afa.net. afa.net.
I'm Francine Perry. I am the mother of Laura Perry, who was a prodigal for 9 years. And I would just like to tell you that prayer changes things. Yes, you grieve over the prodigal, but God will comfort you. The Holy Spirit will comfort you.
Submit a prayer request for a prodigal at inhisimage.movie/prayer.
My heart's desire is that more churches would start a prodigal box, because we all have someone.
inhisimage.movie/prayer.
While in the emergency room with my wife, as she was struggling with the COVID-19 virus herself, and I looked at her, I said, "Are you scared?" And she said, "A little bit, but I've been through worse."
The Certainty of Mankind's History with Uncertainty, an article by Peter Rosenberger.
And then, as her fever was approaching almost 103, she started singing In Christ Alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. And that's how she has anchored herself in the certainty of Christ through her huge medical journey that has included 80 surgeries, both of her legs amputated, 100 doctors have treated her, 12 hospitals, and now the COVID-19 virus. And so when we live with those kinds of uncertainties, anchoring ourselves in Christ alone, that's the only place we can run to where there is certainty.
To read this article and more, visit afa.net/the stand.
If your kids aren't teenagers yet, it's helpful to start giving them the language of emotion early on.
Cindy Claypool-Deneve on Focus on the Family Minute.
Just like, "Oh, it seems like you're feeling frustrated. Oh, you seem angry. Are you feeling sad?" And to be able to give them those words, because a lot of times they may just act out, they may just punch the table or something. And to be able to give them those words, kids are not, they don't intuitively know what those emotions are. And so for us as adults to be able to come alongside them and say, "This is what it seems like you're feeling, is that accurate?" And I think that's really the key. It helps to start younger, but when they, you can start at any point in time, and even with teenagers, because there is that frustration and that anger. It seems like you're frustrated about something today. Now, sometimes they're gonna come back and they're just gonna snap because they're that frustrated. And what I like to do is encourage parents, you're their safe place.
Hear more from Cindy at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
My last caller raised this issue of the death penalty being abolished in Virginia. I don't think it's been signed by the governor yet, but he will. At the same time, the governor's prepared to kill an unborn baby, a baby born alive from an intended abortion, and basically just said, "Well, you can just kill it or just let it lay there and die." And folks, I just want you all to know that my organization, STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny, is going to be working on helping particularly minority communities that are, in my view, held captive by the manipulation, indoctrination, the lies of the left, to help them see the light. And if you want to help us, go to our website, standamerica.us. The project is called Winning Hearts and Minds. It's not yet on the website, but nevertheless, what we're doing right now is encouraging people to join us with a monthly recurring donation of a minimum of $5, and we will send you a free T-shirt, and we'll send you a free honorary officer's pin. It's actually an officer's pin. You'll become an honorary officer when you sign up as a monthly recurring donor for as little as $5 a month. And we've got lots of T-shirts. We're going to send you the one that says Stand America, Stand for America, unless you ask for something else. We do have the what I call the most dangerous T-shirt in America, which is Stand for All Lives Matter. Yeah, you know what that gets you, boy. That's you talk about starting a fire. You say that, and believe me, the long guns come out. You know, they really want to get, because you're not allowed to say that, see? It's the truth, but you're not allowed to say it. All Lives Matter includes all lives, but you're not allowed to say that. And that's what America needs. We need to be able to say to each other, you know what, all lives matter. The lives of our law enforcement officers matter. The lives of our citizens, the lives of our unborn babies matter. And we're gonna do everything we can to defend everyone's right to life, not just a select few. But aside from that, let me get back to your calls because there's plenty to talk about. Let's go to Ben, also in Texas. Ben, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop. I've been listening a long time for you, with you, and I have a suggestion that I would like for you to think about and put out there, because you have a lot of audience that's believers. And my suggestion is that I want to get everybody to start praying for some of these
liberals that's in office right now and get a list of, you know, 10 or 20 of them. And, you know, like the Lord said, you pull lots, and a lot fell upon Matthews.
Hmm.
Okay. So put it in a box, and we pray about it, and we're going to pray for those people for 7 days, that one that come out of the box. And then we'll go to the next one. But the thing is, don't pray that the Lord is strong. Pray that the Lord save them.
Right.
And whatever the
right.
Lord do with them, that's his deal. So if your heart mm-hmm. is to the strong, don't even do the prayer. But
you're
just
right.
let the Lord do
you're
his
right.
will. And I just want to throw it out there and see right. what the Lord can do, because I'm a living witness. He's a healer. He will fix situations. And, boy, this would be something. Wouldn't that be something if one of them just turned his eyes around?
Yes,
but,
indeed.
But think
would
about
be.
It and get with Dan Celia, get with everybody there, and then come up with
okay.
it, if it's feasible to do it.
All right. All right, Ben. I got it. I got the suggestion. Thank you very much for the call, Ben. Yeah, that is a worthwhile suggestion, because we do have to pray for the people who oppose themselves and oppose God. And as Ben said, we don't pray for their destruction. We pray for a change of heart in their lives, because if that happens, truly happens, they're going to be on our side anyway, because we're going to be on God's side and they're going to want to be on God's side. But it would take God to do it. There's no question about that. Let's go to Donna, also in Texas. Donna, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. How you doing?
Doing great, Donna. How are you?
I'm good. First of all, I want to tell Ben that we're way ahead of him. We've been praying for those liberals. And Scott on the TG Sports, thumbs up to that. Now.
Okay.
Okay.
Nobel Prize to Scott, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Donna.
I want to let everybody know to go to, you know, Mike Lindell, the MyPillow
right.
Person?
Yes.
Guy? He has made a documentary, and if they go to michaeljlindell.com, they can view that documentary. It's called Absolute Proof. And okay. I want everybody to get their snacks, that they would go to a movie, the popcorn, whatever they get, because it's kind of long. But is it, I tell you, the information
it's
there about it's an eye-opener about what has happened, what is happening,
mm-hmm.
and how the election was stolen. I'm telling you.
Well, Donna, look, I can't wait to see it. I've been listening to him announcing that it was coming out. I can't wait to
mm-hmm.
see it. And I think
yeah.
that's why he's so passionate about it, because he knows that this is wrong. And now not only has the election obviously been corrupted, but you can't say anything about it. You're not allowed to. If you raise a question about it, you see what happened to Josh Hawley. You see what happens to anybody who raises a question. Their Twitter accounts are closed. Their Facebook accounts are closed. They're not invited to speak on any kind of television venue. And I'm saying we're an open society. What's wrong with investigating? They spent 3 years investigating a hoax accusation against President Trump that he was involved in Russian collusion, and it wasn't, not a word of it was true. And we have visual evidence that that things went wrong in this election, but we can't investigate. We can't get to the bottom of it. It doesn't make sense. Thank you for the call, Don. Appreciate it. Let's go to John in Arkansas. John, welcome.
Good Friday, Bishop. What I was going to ask is, didn't President Trump get private funds to build the border wall? And even if he got public funds, where do those funds go now?
Yeah, I look, there was some controversy about some people raising private funds to build the wall, and I'm not sure where all of that went, but I am pretty much certain that the funds that actually went to build the wall that we are building on our southern border was all government money. I think there was some controversy around some people raising some private money. But you're right. Where's that money going? And what is it going to mean to have that wall incomplete? Because it's now wasted taxpayer dollars if the wall is not finished, because now you just know, just go around the thing. So it doesn't make a bit of sense what they're doing with stopping the building of the wall and money set aside for the building of the wall. I'm not sure what the financial mechanism was that the president was using, whether there was ongoing funding that was scheduled or whether there's money in a pot right now. But I can guarantee you this, wherever it is and whatever it was slated for, it will not be used. Look, they haven't even finished spending the money from the last stimulus. They say a lot of that money is still sitting in the bank. So, unfortunately, we've got folks in office now for whom the rules and doing what is right simply don't matter. They're just going to do what they want to do. And what we've got to do is vote them out of there. That first opportunity we have next. Thanks for the call, John. Let's go to Emmett in Alabama. Emmett, welcome. And folks, the number is 888-589-8840. I've got a few minutes and a couple of open lines. Maybe you can get in before we have to go. Go right ahead, Emmett. You're on.
Thank you for taking the call here. Has anybody ever considered that we have a president who may be in office and is really not supposed to be there, and we have a vice president who is her parents are not a jurisdiction of this country, therefore she's not a citizen of this country. But has anybody ever took her name? First name has six letters. Her middle name is Devi. Add an L to that, you got devil. And then her last name has six letters. That's six, devil, six. Does anybody
consider
that?
Emmett, thank you so much for the call. Emmett, we appreciate the call. I hope that was a little attempted humor. Let's go to Patricia in Louisiana. Patricia, welcome.
Hi. I have a question. I wanted to know, how do I respond to people that, as a Christian, that believe in critical race theory, particularly young people?
Well, if they're Christians, Patricia.
Pardon?
I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was saying that... particularly, I don't think they understand that this is leading to socialism and communism, and I don't think they understand.
Well, Patricia, you are right. I'm going to hang up and see if I can get another call in and respond to your comment before I go. Look, critical race theory is inconsistent with a biblical worldview, because a biblical worldview, a Christian worldview, does not make race the center or central aspect of identity. Relationship with Jesus Christ is, and what unites us all commonly is our common humanity, and skin color has nothing to do with it. So any Christian who is buying into that is buying into a cult mentality. Thank you for the call, though, Patricia. Let's go to Janet in Texas. Janet, welcome.
Yes, I was just thinking, with Biden giving signing that it's okay for men to go in a women's bathroom, you know, if there is a child that is harmed, a little girl that's harmed and is molested or raped, because, I mean, just anything that would be ungodly treatment to a child, does he realize that he could be setting himself up for a lawsuit galore? I mean, big-time lawsuit, because he is given an outright permission for those men to go in the women's bathrooms. Okay, and also, does he not realize that he is committing theft and murder by permitting, taking our tax dollars and using it for ill will to call murder, abortion?
Thank you for the call, Janet. I've got to go. And look, I agree with you on both counts. Now, as to the lawsuit... I don't think he cares. And the president does have certain immunity. And, of course, it's the government and taxpayers who defend the president. He doesn't have to go into his pocket. So I don't think he cares. But you raise an important issue. And this is something they just don't consider. Because transgenders can have all kinds of sexual proclivities and orientations, as we've known. Because Bruce Jenner says he still likes women. That's going to do it, folks. I got to go. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.